So I shared at the beginning, I was convicted in a very strong way that the message that Adonai gave me in the wee hours of the morning to share at the 2022 Southeast Regional Conference, the title of the message was Kadima into the Times of Restitution. Kadima into the Times of Restitution. Portions of that have been preached here before, but he put it together in a different way for me. That this was supposed to be very important. I also realized that I did not deliver my very best. I've been public speaking in the university, in front of a classroom, in front of large groups, etc., many, many times in my life. This is not new to me to be in, like my wife says, you're comfortable on stage. What I'm not comfortable is when I'm not comfortable on stage. You have to be prepared if you're going to be in God's business to have the days that you can, all things are possible. And then there are the days and all things are not possible. I do a lot of soul searching about that. So I've learned, for example, not to share the names of messages ahead of time, not to get overly excited about it so that I preach it to my own self and I'm so excited that I get there and it just went to a pfft. Because if the Lord's not excited about it, or if the Holy Spirit is not able to impress that upon people, then, you know, then I get, and I, you know, I get it. I get it. You know? Or I get in the classroom, the students going to their, you know, like, they look up to see, and they go back to their computer. And there's not a cat there to even rejoice in the classroom. No, sometimes I've had graduate students in the class, and they tend to help out the prof with excitement and so on. I had such people in attendance at the Southeast Regional, but there was something, there was a struggle. I had a struggle inside. I failed in that sense. And, you know, you can say whatever you like and you can be nice to me and say, oh, no, I know myself. There was a certain level of engagement and in, look, I don't often get complete worship services while I'm asleep. I've experienced that this month. I brought one of those to here. I think it was during Thanksgiving or something. Whatever it was, there wasn't that many people. And, you know, it's not like I could just tell the Lord, wait a minute, you're off a week. Look, everybody's gone. And so on. You just have to roll with whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. So he gave me the worship service, and I share it with all the excitement, and it was in all the people weren't here, and all the musicians weren't here, and I looked around, and there was a, David, you weren't even here that day, so there was nobody there, and there was nobody there, Stephanie, because you weren't here either, and you know, and so this place looked like a cave kind of thing, and so what do? You know, like, so I've learned to roll with the roll tide kind of thing. Roll with the plenty and roll when it's not plenty. And roll when the anointing is there and roll when it's not in there. Because it's not dependent on me. Ultimately, it's not dependent on me. But I'm human and I'm flesh. And the day after I deliver that message, I was looking for a rock to hide under. I was looking for a cave to go hide, and I didn't want to talk to nobody. But we were in the conference, so there was no opportunities for that. And we attended classes and so on. And so in my own humanity, I repented. I said, "Lord, forgive me. Let me see if there were some steps that I took wrong. Whatever it was, I'm willing." But let me tell you something. When that happens, you're usually not anxious to go talk about it again. Except at the university, that happens. And I knew that the best way to get over it was to go in the classroom again. Let me just say something to you. That happens at the university a lot. But since I teach like 5 times in the week, then there was an opportunity to go back to the place, go back to the audience, go back and now deliver the best. And so you get the salt with the pepper, and you get the good, the bad, and the ugly from the professor. But at the conference, that doesn't happen. I won't see those people again. So you kind of put it away, and you're like saddened for a while. So I put it away. I really did put it away. Say, okay, you know, put it away. And then I didn't have to preach the following week. That was Sam last week. I'm off the hook. And then this week comes, and we did a wedding. By the way, Sean Fergus got married yesterday to someone that he had known for 13 and a half years. And so she is younger than he is. I've never met her before, but John Davis and I, who were performing the ceremony, and Marilyn and Amelise and Stephen, who were there with Joseph, your son, were there. We can all attest that, oh my goodness, God answered the prayer. He answered the prayer that the lady is, and the lady's family is awesome as well. So it was a joy to do it. It's not always easy to work with Sean, because he sees different than I see, and he moves at a different pace as an artist and all those things. And he knew that he was pushing the envelope. He knew it anyway. And there were a number of times that several of us had to, like, get over it kind of thing. And it just didn't happen to me. It was John and I shared the same thing. Amelise and I shared the same thing. And others, even those that were just standing there, like Joseph, was just standing there, like, you know, what am I supposed to do? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm already at the wedding's already started. You know, kind of thing. So anyway, it went off in Sean's style. He had his hands all over the program. So when it says in the program, this is our wedding ceremony, I can assure you it was Sean Fergus's wedding ceremony. He wanted all these details, and some that were there that said, here's some opportunities, and some that he brought himself. Nevertheless, it got moved today because it was supposed to rain in Panama City yesterday. So it got moved to Thursday. So it's, you know, on top of, so we're all, you know, to get there on time, now we have to get there, you know, et cetera. Actually, I think the Lord had all those things in mind. And when the venue was done, and I realized that I had to walk from the hotel to over there. Off you go into the wild blue yonder, and you're walking on that sand. And I'm going like, oh. And there are no chairs in the beach. Oh. And all those things, and that there was effort involved. reminded me of Israel. If you go to Israel, you're not going to get a vacation. If you want a vacation, don't go to Israel. Because everything's uphill. Everything's walking. There's nothing that you get to that they bring you to the front of anything. The closest they might leave you, like in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, we're at the top of the hill. You want to go to Nazareth? There it is. I mean, it's not like the bus got us in and took us to the, none of that. So if you wanted to go, you can go. That's the way it is in Israel. If you want to go, you can go. You walk. And you walk uphill, downhill. It's rock after rock and sand after sand. And it's typically hot unless you go in the winter time. And then it can be really, really cold. But then it's hot too. And we were there in the winter time. So it's like that. So it's just like, oh, the top of the hill is up there. They're all up there waiting for Marilyn and I to get to the top of the hill. And while we're going up the hill, it's snowing. Starts snowing. And I said, I think we're going to be cold. Because by the time we get up there, we were not prepared for it to be snowing. By the time we got there, it was all over. The snow was all. And they were trying to come, you know, so you see them up there. You need help? Yeah, I need a cart. I need, you know, you didn't bring a carriage for the child. You know, and it feels that way. And it's not my fault. My knees don't work that way. But, so it seemed that way yesterday. Thursday. Till we got to the place, and Ronnie and I sat together for a little while and could see the waves through the hoopah. You could see the waves of this beautiful white sand beach in Florida with almost no waves at all. I said, oh, this is so appropriate. Sean really, it's appropriate for Sean. And all of us looked at each other and said, we're so happy for him that all the difficulties and whatever doesn't matter. Let it be, Lord. May this be just a wonderful day for him. Sean never smiles. He's the pirate that's in the back of here. Have you seen the pirate? You know the pirate? Because he doesn't have hair because he lost hair because he had a battle with cancer, which he was given a week or so to live, and he overcame with the Lord. So Sean is in the less than 1%, which is a very important thing for them. His hair hasn't grown back necessarily. So that's why he wears the hats and those kinds of things. Sean is not like your... I don't think I've seen his teeth that many times in 24 years. He's a good guy, but he's not like your life of the party. That's not Sean. Anyway, so because that's not who he is, it was really weird to see somebody like this the whole day. Showing his teeth. There was nothing about the day that he was not enjoying to the fullest. And it was such a joy to see him find his desirable bride. And she's every bit, she's like two peas in a pod kind of thing. She's his Ezer Kenegdo. God really created a very special lady for Sean. So we're thankful. And when he comes, you can say, hey, Mr. Fergus, happy in your wedding. And Mrs. Fergus will come sometime because she's in Texas finishing a master's degree. So, and she's, but anyway, Sean is Sean. He was so happy. All night last night I was thinking about his happiness, how happy he was. He was so happy. I was not looking forward to talking about my SCR message again. So I put it away. You know, like, I don't want to talk about it. This didn't come out really good. I don't want to talk about it, etc. And I have the recording and it, you know. So I started to work on the message. And Adonai, who loves to mess my world, he sends his Holy Spirit to bing. I want that paragraph. I knew what he was talking about. So I said, huh? Look, if you talk to the Lord a lot, you can actually share expressions with him, okay? He doesn't have to just be some fella up there, whatever. You know, it can be your brother. So there are ways we communicate. And go, really? And she just said, really? Really? And Marilyn was at Publix because she was away from Publix for 2 days and Walmart, and you know, and then she had to go to Publix and Walmart because that's the fix. You know, she was getting food and whatever. So I was alone, and so I could actually say aloud, really? But I didn't come out so good. And it's like, I'm talking to the wall, to the monitor, because he's not listening. He never listens. He wants me to listen. I want to say, Lord, Shema. And the Lord says, no, I wrote for you, Shema. Okay, you, Shema. You prove that you heard by doing what I said. Go like, okay. So I went and dug it out. Say, okay, well, where is this going to fit? I mean, the parasha is by Yigash and whatever. And so I was going to stick it at the end. Sorry. You know? This is like Starkist tuna commercial. And Charlie, only this kind of tuna can be Starkist tuna, Charlie. And that's how, you know, it is for me. Lord, whatever you want. Let me first give you a scripture. Genesis 44:18. Vayigash. Vayigash Yehuda. Then Judah approached him, the him there, Joseph, and said, I beg your pardon. Last time I spoke on this, I said, well, that's the beginning of a song. I beg your pardon. I didn't promise you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's got to be a little. So I went back, and sure enough, now songs are beginning to connect things and go, oh, he's serious about this. He's totally serious. Okay. Please let your servant say a word in my Lord's ears. A word. So he's Puerto Rican like me. Because I don't say one word. And don't be angry with your servant since you're like Pharaoh. Now, the scripture that was the key scripture of the message for the Southeast Regional is Acts 3, verse 19 through 21. And it says in the TLV, repent therefore and return. In the King James, it says be converted. Very important. All these words are important. So your sins might be blotted out. Not just repent, be converted. So times of relief, in the King James says refreshing, times of refreshing, might come from the presence of Adonai, and that he might, but in the King James it says shall, he shall, send Yeshua the Messiah, which was appointed, the King James has preached, unto you. Verse 21, heaven must receive him, that's Yeshua, until the time of the restoration of all things. In the King James Version, it says the times of restitution of all things. And that word restitution is a critical word. I've spoken on it many times. Of all the things that God spoke long ago, in the King James Version, it says, since the world began, through the mouth of his holy prophets. So let me analyze that for a second. The heavens have to hold on to Yeshua until the times of restitution, the times of refreshing, the times of restoration. But its restitution is a little different than restoration. And I spoke on that before, so I'm not going to speak on it again. But I did down there. I shared the fact that I called the rabbi that did the New Testament and the TLV and his wife, and they wrote back a complete response justifying the following. The justification that I was looking for is that restoration and restitution are not exactly the same. That restoration is put back to the original, but restitution implies that there is a giving back, maybe beyond that, because the Torah, when it says restitution, it says you shall make restitution like 3 times and 7 times. And I'm going like, okay, you know, the devil's been stealing from us. He needs to pay back. Not just give me back my money. Give me back my money with interest. According to the Torah, you're supposed to give me back 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. And that's what I want from the devil needs to return to us in restitution what it says. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, so I called the source, the guy who is responsible, and he wrote me back. And I shared with you guys that what he wrote back. And then his wife, who was the one who typed the text, and she was up till 3 a.m. doing Microsoft Word. This lady has a master's degree from Stanford, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Awesome, 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 awesome people. So she didn't mind giving me her 2 pennies worth. And in her 2 pennies worth, she said that the way that the text is construed and so on, It leaves for the opportunity of a greater return than just to the original. When Stephen gets through with his car, he's not going to bring it back just to the original. You see, it's not possible for him to bring it back to the original because that leather and all those things in that car are 40 years old. But what it is possible is that in the restoration process, they bring it back to the original, but beyond the original. In other words, the car restored by it's actually better than the car was originally. If you want to see that, go to a car show, like the one they have in Amelia Island, which costs you like $50 to go. And you see cars from the 10s and the 1900s and whatever, and they look, they're better than they were. The material is better. In some cases, they were able to find the original material. In some cases, they had to redo it. And they did not redo it with crappy material. They redid it with the best material there was. And that car just would look like, the carriage would look like, oh my gosh, this is way, way better. No wonder this car is worth $300,000 or $500,000 or millions of dollars. That's the concept that I wanted you to get back then, the day that I shared that message. That the Bible says that there has to be, there are times, not a single time, there are times of refreshing so that the restitution will come. My friends, that's what I'm looking for. My friend, that's what we're looking for. That's what 2023 represents to me. The times of restitution and restoration for us. And it's not just going back to how good it was in the beginning. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. And when the Lord wanted me to talk about that, I became just totally, yes, you got my attention. No wonder I was so excited back then. So what's the point? The point is that I have to revisit that today. Like it or not. See, I can take advantage here and say, okay, if you don't like it, throw the tomatoes. You don't like it, tell the elders so that they can pass. You don't even have to address me specifically. You can put a piece of paper in the offering. I'll get it. You don't have to sign it. What is the point? Well, I'm going to quote the message. I'm going to quote the last paragraph of the message on the 17th. Here it is. What was the point? This is quoting from my own self. What was the point of all this discussion? If you become thoroughly convinced that Adonai functions in a divine methodology, I have called that divine law or divine Torah. Listen carefully. This is important for you guys. If you become thoroughly convinced that Adonai functions in a divine methodology, that he's not random, that he has a methodology. Furthermore, that he has shared that methodology with us. An immutable procedure. Immutable means not changeable, not immutable procedure, although not completely understandable by man, is nevertheless immensely valuable and reliable. If you understand that there is a GPS from heaven, then you can proceed and do Kadima. As a matter of fact, you guys are really good at it. And sometimes people go, well, the thing says turn left. And I always ask my daughter the question, where is that? Where is the sun? Where's the water? Where is the north? So I trained her. I don't care where you go. You got to know where the sun is. You have to know what time of the day and where the sun is. You have to know where the water is. So that you know that if you're going north, but you want to go to Mexico, and you're going north, and you continue in that direction, you're going to go to Canada. That's not where you want to go. You see, I know that it happens. It's happened to Joe, where he got on the parkway, and there's no exits, so he was supposed to come north, and he went back to Yeehaw Junction. Got off, paid the money, and then paid the money again. And he was 2 hours late. He said, if you've ever been in the turnpike when it was first built, you know that's the way it just all looks the same. You have to know where the sun is so that you don't just take an exit or take the instructions of the GPS blindly and say, She's communicating with me at the middle of the night after a big thing in Atlanta, whatever, and the thing said, turn left, right here, the exit. I said, what exit? Well, I said, no, where are you? What road? Oh, I'm in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. Okay, well, which way is the interstate going? North. You don't see any sun or anything, but look, you're going from Florida to somewhere else and going through Atlanta, unless your destination is Atlanta, which you need prayer then. You're going through Atlanta, you're going north, and you know that if you stayed on the interstate, you still continue to be north, so if you get off and turn left, which way are you going? West. So I said, sweetheart, if you go west all the way, you're going to run into the interstate again. It's called 285. And then just get on where it says Chattanooga. If you go to the east and continue on the east for a long time, you will run into 285 because it's a circle. And when you run into 285, get on and look at the sign that says Chattanooga. Go on that one. Okay? And he was like, oh, so it doesn't matter if I go left or right? No. You're in the middle of the city, so it's going to take you as long to get to 285 if you go west as it is you go 285 go east. Isn't that awesome? Well, the GPS wants you to go west. Okay, go. You know, if peradventure you run into US 41, I said, and it's not like really busy, the interstate is, you know, it's zero. Nobody's moving. Just take 41 north. North. If you start to go north and you don't see any airplanes, that's awesome. If you went in the other way and you start seeing airplanes, that's not awesome because you're going back south to the airport. So go north on US 41 and it will actually bypass all that mess and you'll get on. You'll come up to the Battle Atlanta where the Braves play, which is right there where 285 and 75 meet, and you can then take 75 and go north. Look, if you have some extra knowledge and the GPS says turn here or go there, but you have some context knowledge and you know that it's not telling you to go backward, and you know that it's you know that even if you mess up that it's going to work and all this kind of thing, you take it. Now, the majority of you are not like my daughter who questions it because she grew up around me. Let me sadly say that the majority of you think that Google is God and infallible. And it cannot, so if Google says stop and turn around and go this, you stop and turn around and go that, and the next thing you know, you're back trying to get on the interstate. I just try to get off the interstate. Because it, you know, it gets in a loop and who knows what Google's saying to you. But people trust it. Oh, no, I have my GPS. I can soon make it. Try it in L.A. when you're trying to get to the airport and you have 20 minutes to make it there. Or you're going to lose the plane and there's not another plane going east for another 8 hours. You will not become distracted by circumstances and modern ideas, but will stick to his blueprint and will be able to not only explain but inspire confidence in everything that you do. And I'm talking about Kadima. I'm talking about going forward to a place you do not know. I preached that already, so I didn't want to preach that again. I told my two graduate students in Auburn, I've shared this with you before here, in 1983, in the first day of my Bible study with them, I shared with them Ecclesiastes 3, 15 and 16. I shared with them Malachi 3, 6. I shared with them Hebrews 13 and 8, and I shared with them James 1, 17. Made sure that they agreed that that's what it said. You know, somebody said, well, what Bible are you reading from? Whichever one you got. It doesn't really matter. John 3:16 is the same in all the Bibles. And I'm not talking about something obscure. I'm talking about something. So they agreed. So do you agree that God doesn't change? Yeah. Do you agree that the Almighty doesn't change? Yeah. Do you agree that Yeshua doesn't change? Yeah. Do you agree that the future can be seen from the past? Isn't that what it's saying? He repeats it over and over in Ecclesiastes. That you can actually see the future if you look at the back. By the way, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? Isn't it? So if you're walking forward, but it's as if you're walking back, guess what? You walk with, you're just like the little doggy. You walk and you stroll. I said, do you agree with all of that? They said, yes. I said, you're done. I told them, I said, you're done. They looked at me like, we're done what? I said, you're done. You're never going to be able to go back to church as usual. You're never, never, ever, ever. You're not going to be able to leave. You're trapped. You might as well come with your hands out and give up. They're looking at me like, all right, Arroyo, I know that you're weird, but What is this? I said, you'll never be able to distance yourself from Messianic Judaism. You'll never be able to distance yourself from Messianic Judaism. Because what I'm sharing with you is the methodology of Adonai. See, everything will become clear, and your way of doing things will always be supported by Scripture. For example, I said to them, if you know that Yeshua liked or did something as it's illustrated in the Gospels, then he still likes it. He's still going to do it. And they look at me like funny, like, what are you talking about? Well, didn't you say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then I go into my spiel. Really, I really wanted Yeshua, Jesus, to be a Puerto Rican. It would have been so much better. I love that. We could have enjoyed arroz con gandules together. We could have liked caburrias together. We love all these things together. They all look at me like I'm some kind of an idiot. But, you know, I play the part really well. I said, but I could not make it so that he was from San Juan. He's from Israel. So I couldn't make him into a Puerto Rican. And then I look at him and said, neither can you make him into an American. So, if you want to do what Jesus does, let's do what Jesus did. Love it. I love it. Go ahead, church person. Tell me that you want to do everything that Jesus did. And just like I said, well, I get the book. And read like, when he entered the synagogue on Shabbat, as was his custom. Hello? Like, what did you just learn today when he showed up? He likes fish. He's like Sam. He likes fish. There's a bunch of you around here that don't like fish. I'm just going to mess with you a little bit. All of you non-fish eaters don't want to have any fish. Go ahead and invite the Messiah to your favorite restaurant. And somebody says, would you like to go to the fish house? They gave him broiled fish. Maybe it was blackened, you know. It was kosher fish. Okay, well, you wait a minute. Yeah. I don't know if they gave him hush puppies, but they certainly gave him fish, okay? Hush puppies, that's my wife's thing. Now you know what he likes. Now you know what he does. Now you know what he preaches. Now you know what he wears. Now you know everything about him. So go ahead and be like him. Go ahead and make my day, I told those grad students. Go ahead and make my day. And they are looking at me like, what did we get ourselves into? I checked not long ago. They're still serving God in a messianic type environment. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. As an engineer, and Sam and there are other engineers, but none of them are here. So all the engineers that are here, they're not here. I think you're part an engineer. As an engineer, I learned from the laws of physics and electricity. And as long as I stayed within the boundaries of the law of physics and electricity, whatsoever I designed may not have worked, but I wouldn't have to just give up and go, oh, I made a mistake. I just need to go back and see what little tiny error I made because it's supposed to work. You mean to say that as long as you stay within the laws of physics and electricity, you can design things and they will work? The answer is, ask Sam. Yes. Yes! That's all we do as engineers. We go back to F equal MA. We go back to V equal IR. We go back to all those things, and we use the same thing over and over again. And if you can find in the design the law, you feel a way heck of a lot better. What happens is we find in the designs that people make, what law did you follow? Because it certainly doesn't look anything like what's supposed to follow. I learned that all my designs would succeed, and I would not waste time or money. It is awesome to think that when you can dream into the future, that you don't know what it is. If you have an accurate GPS and a map, just like what you follow in Google, you are going to get there. As a matter of fact, I don't have to sell that here. Nearly all of you follow your GPS, even to go where you know you're going. I actually do that and disagree with the GPS. No, we're not going that way because you're wrong. If we go that way, we're going to do that. And then it starts to tell me all the things that I need to do in order to get back on my path, the path that's going to hit me to, you don't understand. I've been here before. I know this. I know where to go. So I play the game with the GPS. My family gets probably annoyed as anything. Because I just love to be contrary to those things. They start rattling and I start rattling back. I'm not going that way. And I'm going to save time. I'm going to get there, use less gas, less money. I'm going to get there before you did. Okay, so your rabbi is a weirdo. Totally weird about that. The secret to Kadima is to have a GPS. The secret to Kadima is to have the GPS. The Lord's not asking us to go into the future this way, like the blind leading the blind. My friends, you need to understand that we have been given accurate map data and accurate GPS data. Let me tell you that Adonai's GPS is better than Google Maps, Garmin, or TomTom. You remember them? In other words, I don't care what man can design. God's GPS is better than that. Therefore, we can move with confidence into our destiny and prepare the world for his return if we have his GPS. That was the message. What is his GPS? Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 13 and 8, James 1:17. And Ecclesiastes 3:15, 14, and 15. I've said it enough times. Ecclesiastes 3:15 and 16. I know that what God doeth, he doeth forever. And whatsoever he doeth, which is forever, he doeth it so that men will fear before him. That's 15. 16. That which has been is now. That which has to be is to be hath already been. And God required that which is past. You're quoting the King James. Yeah, that's what I memorized. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Find something other than those Bibles. It would be Yeshua, the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he doesn't change. And finally, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So the Father doesn't change. The Son doesn't change, and by context, the Holy Spirit can't either, because the Holy Spirit, it says, we've been told, does everything that the Holy Spirit hears the Father and the Son talk about, that's what he does. So we're guaranteed that the Holy Spirit does it all the same. There are two in the New Testament, there's two in the Old Testament. If you know that, then you know what the future is for us. The future for us is not what Christianity has been doing. The future for us is what the early believers did. What the early believers that were both Jew and Gentile together. That's the future. Man, can I preach? You can't do that in the SCRs. That's probably the problem. Okay, so get to the bottom of this. Because you've already been talking that 40 minutes. So, go on. One of the most commonly translated words for repentance in the Torah is teshuva. This is old stuff for you guys. However, the Hebrew word can more accurately be translated as turn around and return in modern Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, the word means, teshuva means to give an answer, to respond to an answer. Therefore, from a Torah perspective, repentance is to turn around and return, turn around and return, and give an answer to Adonai. This concept was clearly understood by Yeshua's disciples. Here's what they wrote. Here's what was written in Acts 3. Repent, therefore, and return, so your sins might be blotted out. Parashat Vayigash vividly illustrates this type of repentance. When Joseph's brothers returned to him, when a person truly experiences repentance, they immediately realize that repentance is not a single event, but a journey. A journey. To repent is going to be more than just a cat. That's what we don't get. We don't get it that, you know, if you lost your temper in the front of this congregation and you just called your wife, hey, yeah, and display that kind of thing to her, it's not good enough just to go back to her and say, honey, I'm sorry. You might as well wake up, husband. You might as well either agree with me or not, okay? I'm not messing around. We think that it's all that easy. Oh, no, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There are a lot of sorry people in the world. It's no more sorry. We need to do repentance. We need to do restitution. And if, God forbid, that if I say something out of order towards my wife in front of you, I'm going to have to, in front of you, rectify that. How you like them apples? Well, it was between my wife and I. Well, you did it in the bathroom and in the other stall with somebody listening. You're going to have to go find out who it was. Smell, see, maybe you can tell by the smell. I don't know. But you're going to have to make it right. It's not just going to be the time for it. It's over. It's over, my friends. I'm not messing around. I'm not messing around any more than Sam or John have been. I'm not messing around. The journey of repentance leads us to Yeshua. Today's Torah portion demonstrates how in the process of returning to and answering Adonai, it's going to cost you something. It's cheaper not to say it. Look, it costs you $1.50 if I don't go ahead and say anything about her. Like, I was thinking I should say something about Red. And I could just go ahead and say, well, Red. Except that you were Red. So now you're going to take it personally. And
Lionel Ward read, and she's going to take it personally. And Michelle Ward read, and she's going to take it personally. The next thing I know, I've offended four people. Just because I was going to say something funny about Red. But she didn't think it was funny. And Lionel didn't laugh. And Michelle didn't even shake a head. And what am I going to do now? It was cheaper if I just swallow my pride. Nothing about Red. I just violated it. I'm trying to illustrate a point. What if I went ahead and did what I said? Made my joke. My private joke about Red. That's funny. And over there is she's crying. And he's holding her and trying to say, oh, my God, that rabbi, he's so terrible. Then I get four emails. I get the offended party and the onlookers. I don't need an email from you, Jackie. You're not wearing any red. But if I get a red, then I might Jackie say, I want to say, like, you were wearing black. Guess what? I'll get those too. And while I want to do the following, this email deserves a trash can. Yeah, for about a day. And then I'm going to have to answer all the people I wrote about Red. I should have kept my mouth shut. Yeah. Just, it costs you if you make a mistake. And it costs you in public even more. We have to sacrifice if we've blown it. It's okay. Try better next time. I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is that you've got to really work hard to seek that person and get their forgiveness. And it's going to cost you time, effort, and all kinds of things. It's not going to come really easy. Scripture states, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Thank you, Paul. Didn't that sound awesome? As far as I know, living sacrifices never had a good time. Meaning you could get pins and you get salt put in it and squeeze and all kinds of stuff to be an acceptable sacrifice. I don't need to be anybody's sacrifice. I already know what that is. Not good. Holy, acceptable to God. Paul, keep talking, buddy. Which is your spiritual service. I like that. But the King James says your reasonable service. I like that even more. It's like, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That is, in Greek, experience metamorphosis. What is metamorphosis? They used to discuss that in high school when I went to high school, but I'm afraid that some of you are too young for that. And what they give you right now is Bologna. They don't talk about metamorphosis or anything like laws of physics or anything like that anymore. By the renewing of your mind. So that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me just tell you the following. Metamorphosis requires time. Metamorphosis requires time. Let me tell you the following. There is a price to be paid if you want to navigate the future. And some of you are coming into, well, just tell me what it is. I'm going to get the GPS. I'm going to turn it on. And you're going to pay nothing. It's free. It's a free service. It's in the Word. I'm here to tell you that if you want to navigate the future, you're going to have to pay the dues, my friend. You're going to have to pay some. What dues am I going to have to pay? What are you talking about? If you want to get to the times of refreshing, you're going to have to go through repentance, pardon, and sacrifice, which leads to the times of refreshing. Oh, boy. For your servant became a pledge for the boy with my father, saying, if I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before my father all my days. This is what he's telling Joseph in secret. Joseph already knows. He's talking about his own dad. He's talking about dad. Judah doesn't know it. So now, please, let your servant remain as my Lord's slave in the boy's place. Let the boy go up with his brothers. For how can I go up to my father if the boy is not with me? Else, I must see the evil that would come upon my father. Nice way to say, it's going to kill him. It's going to kill him. I might as well just take the knife and do it myself. And he's hoping Joseph would understand that. He's like, oh, give him understanding. Except that Joseph is in there going, it's my dad. My dad. You don't want to kill my dad. No wonder he's going to scream at the top of his lungs in the next verse. Shh, be quiet. I'm okay. Emergency call. No. Okay, I'm just preaching. Judah is willing to take Benjamin's place as Joseph's prisoner. This is, Judah is for sure needs to do this. This is how he's proving to himself and to God that he is absolutely repentant for what happened to Joseph. Remember that Judah's the one with a brilliant idea. Let's not just kill him. Let's sell him and let's make some money in the deal. And you can go ahead and think that he was doing it so that maybe, oh, well, my hands won't be stained with blood. Let the Ishmaelites do it. But there's this problem about selling, right? Did he give the money back? Blood money, my friend. Blood money. Don't you know that blood money is talking to Judah right now? He wants to substitute himself for Benjamin. He's foreshadowing Yeshua that comes from the tribe of Judah, who's going to do the same thing. You see what's going on here? He's substituting his life for Benjamin, like Yeshua substituted his life for ours. He's demonstrating his repentance through his works. He may not be saying, I'm sorry. I'm saying it with a New York accent on purpose to get a reaction out of a couple of New Yorkers that are here. He's protecting his father from dying for the grief of losing Benjamin. His desire to sacrifice his own needs shows how strong his love has grown. Because no man has greater love than a person for a person than the one who lays down his life. John 15:13. So, Judas, what he's doing is an act of love, according to Yeshua. Guess what happens next? Read it. The dadgum thing. He loses it. Joseph loses it, starts screaming. Everybody goes, oh my God, the viceroy of Egypt is having a hissy fit. And he sends everybody away. Get away from me. Like, don't even come near me. He has two sons. He has a wife. He has a brother-in-law. I mean, Pharaoh, he doesn't care. He just, everybody leave me right now. Except those 11 or those 10. And he goes, nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. You thought you killed me, but here I am. Is that what's going on? Read it again. Let me also tell you the following. Repentance requires forgiveness. Duh. Well, if we weren't going to get forgiveness, why would we repent? I know what you're thinking. That's stupid. Of course repentance requires forgiveness. God's going to forgive us. Oh, no, I'm talking about beyond that. I'm talking about forgiveness all the way around here. Repentance requires you to forgive. You. Show me. Okay, I'm from Missouri. Show me. Now Joseph could no longer restrain himself from all of those who were standing by him, so he cried out. Okay, it wasn't like a little cry, like, get everyone away from me. When the Pharaoh says, get everyone, the vice Pharaoh, everybody, get lost. So no one stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. But he gave his voice to weeping. So the Egyptians heard, and Pharaoh's household heard. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. What? He wants to know, is my father still alive? What did the brothers do? They had a context to see who's going to speak now. Sorry. The brothers were unable to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. I love that. That was the name of the conference we went to in Arizona with the Promise Keepers. So they came near. I am Joseph, your brother. In case you don't know who that is, the one you sold to Egypt. Who's getting the specific of this, huh? Whose idea was this? You think that person is getting it a little more than the others? The other go, it wasn't my idea. That was Judah's idea. Oh, we were going to kill him. I'm Joseph, your brother, the one you sold to Egypt, he said. So now he comes. Now don't be grieved and don't be angry in your own eyes that you sold me here. What's he saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, so you know you're guilty. You're big time guilty. I don't want any crocodile tears. You know, there's a song they sing at the wedding. It's not crocodile tears. The other tears, right? Butterfly kisses. So this is not that. These are gator tears. No gator tears here. Joseph said, this was preserving life that God sent me here before you. God's purpose overrides everything. Joseph was willing to forgive his brothers for all the hardship, pain, and agony they had caused him for all those years. What? How many years? You can actually guess what we're talking about. 12 years in captivity, and then how many years in the prison because the other guys didn't get him out? It's 2 years to the day that the day comes, and so the day comes, Joseph gets a 2-year anniversary. When he told the cupbearer, make sure I'll share what it is, but make sure you tell. So on that same day, look how God does things. On that same day, Pharaoh has a dream. This is all coincidence, isn't it? It's coincidence. He has a dream. And no one can, he get all the people. Nobody can interpret the dream. And the cupbearer says, be quiet again, I didn't fall. I'm okay. In a minute, they're going to come through the door. Cancel. Do not fall. No, it listens to me. It's monitoring my voice. Dump it. No, don't dump it. Joseph has to forgive. What did he do wrong? You get it? You get it. Isn't he the innocent party here? The innocent party leads in repentance. Because see, repentance is a big thing. Everybody's involved. If we're going to be new creation, if we're going to be new creation so that we can spring into the times of restitution as we kadima, we have to change things. The Bible says, Genesis 45, 9 through 11, get up, go up quickly to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord over all Egypt. You see, like, come down to me, don't delay, then you'll live in the land of Goshen and be close to me. You and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your cattle and everything that belongs to you. I'll provide food for you there, for the famine will last another 5 years. Okay, so if the famine will last 5 more years, then there were 2 years of the 7. There were the 7 of putting it together, and now the 2 years, that's 9. 9 beyond the 2 years extra in the prison and the 12 years. Add it up. This cost Joseph plenty. And many times he wanted to just curse and die. He never needed to curse his brothers or God. As renewed individuals, Joseph's brothers and whole family was given a time of refreshing. They were given new farms and new lodging. And Joseph said he guaranteed that they would be under his protection. In other words, his family would never experience poverty. My question to us, I'm finally getting to the point, right? Is it possible that we can also experience healing in our family like Joseph did? Where am I going with this? Yes, it is. But it's not free. It's not free. It's going to cost you something, but it's going to be worth every penny. Repentance is an enduring process that takes our time and energy to complete. This is because heartfelt repentance requires sacrifice, forgiveness, renewal, and then it leads to restitution, which is where we want to go. The world must see that we are willing to lay our lives down. That was not a suggestion from Yeshua to us. Man, forgiveness is required so that we do not hold grudges against any individual who have wronged us. Because somebody said, this is a random quote from the Bible. For you, if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a random statement. by a random person. Certainly doesn't apply to you. You're exempt. All of you are exempt. So you think. Restitution, restoration, and renewal are required so that we can become the new creations that we are intended to be. That's what the Bible said. In anyone is in Messiah, he's a new creature, new creation. But when repentance is built on the process of sacrifice, forgiveness, and renewal, it is an enduring witness of the salvation that was freely given to Adonai through Yeshua. Didn't cost us nothing. It cost him everything. How little in comparison is what's required of us to what was required of him. Where am I going? We want to step into the future. We want to Kadima. We have the divine methodology. We know that that which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, so we can do perfect knowledge in our steps. We can move forward knowing exactly where we're going. Isn't that amazing? We can Kadima. It's better than Abraham. Abraham didn't get even that much. We get even more than that. But when you step into Kadima, if we're going to step there, there is this issue of your family. There's this issue of everybody has done you wrong. All that is talking. You think you're going to get away without me preaching about repentance? You haven't seen the movie. Repent! You got to repent. I know you're going to tell me, you don't understand my aunt. You don't understand my husband. You don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand how I was created. You don't understand how I was raised. You don't understand nothing. I don't understand nothing. Look, I can tell the Lord how many times I did not like being mistreated in Louisiana in 1965. I can tell him all that that's happened to me. And he ain't interested. He's not interested one bit. You know what he's interested in? Did you forgive them? Did you forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing? Oh, my goodness. What do you mean? They didn't know what they were doing. If somebody was beating you, they knew what they were doing. Lord, come on now. When somebody was speaking evil to you, they knew what they were doing. And if you had the weapon, it doesn't have to be a lethal weapon. It could just be a taser, right? They start going at you and you go, don't tase me, bro. He doesn't even have to be lethal. Did you know that anybody comes at you, that you can take your two little fingers, you weakling, you, whoever you are, put him right here. It squeeze. Marilyn tried it with her son. Bigger than her and all those things. Mom, don't do that. There is a way that we can overcome. If you think that we're going to step into the future and leave the past, the mess that it's been, I got news for you. That which has been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. I didn't preach that there. That was for you, not for them. I have responsibility for you. If you think that we can just keep going the way we've been going up to December 31, 2022, And it's going to be all right. I got news for you. It ain't going to be all right. And you go ahead and keep all the grudges you want to. You go ahead and point anything you want to point. You can go ahead and keep talking the same baloney, bologna you've talked all your life to your own self about it. And you're going to have to come face to face with what Adonai wants us to do. I don't know what that is for you, but I can just surmise it's not trivial. I can just surmise it's going to cost you something. I can just surmise it's going to cost you, it's going to sacrifice. Because once you do, you will be directed by the Holy Spirit into the times of refreshing, that is, the times of restitution. We can really accomplish the work if we know what we're doing. How many times have you talked about repentance this past year? That's what the wall's asking me right now. The wall's saying, how many times are you going to say the same thing over and over again? People got it. They got it. It's not Passover, huh? It's not Elul, huh? It's not the High Holidays, huh? Can you get off the subject? Leave me alone? How long are you going to continue to hammer me with I got to practice repentance for my family? Look, I must confess. But this I confess to you, Paul said. By the way, which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the Torah and the Nevi'im. I just got myself off really good. Thank you, Lord. Well, are you now ready to Kadima? Didn't it sound really good? Oh, let's go forward. And I'm saying, un momento. Un momento. Hold it right here. Do an inventory of your family. That includes the cat in my household. I have to repent of when I was not happy with the cat. Like, Marilyn was gone. I gave the cat food. And I found it the next day, vomited right there where I gave it to her. Go like. And I cried inside, Mr. Nobody, please come clean this. I started to call on the phone and says, Marilyn, your cat just vomited in there. And she would have said, just leave it and I'll clean it when I get back. I didn't even call her. Are you kidding me? I don't need that kind of pressure. I have to repent. Next time I see the cat, I'm so sorry that cat, forgive me. I have sinned against my wife and the God of my wife and, you know, all that. And I didn't understand that you were angry at her because she left. Do you know what I'm saying? You think I'm getting you. She came over, got dinner the first day she comes back, and the cat comes over and does his thing to me. Me. The cat was doing things on my leg. And when he looked at her and went the other way, went out of the house. Like, I'm going, listen, cat, you don't get it. The only reason that I fed you is because she asked me. And she, every time we call, she said, did you feed the cat? Like, well, what am I supposed to feed her? Is there no food there? No? Oh. You get to go to Walmart. Can I go to Publix? Well, you can get it any way you want to. But there's a problem. You can pay the same amount, Publix, for this size bag as you do in Walmart for this size bag. And I'm an engineer. Tacaño. I don't want to give Publix any more money for that. So I will go to Walmart. Go, ah, the dog cat food is by the door in the back. So engineer goes, uh-huh, plan A. I drove around the back. I parked. I only walked the necessary number of steps, not one more. And I went and did the door, and I went, what do you mean? It was locked. During the day. Why? I actually did find out. I said, what? How come that door's not open? You had signs that the door's open. I said, sir, you know what day this is? Yeah. Well, people called in sick, so we don't have anybody to open the door. I didn't show him a credit card that says Rabbi. Right? I mean, like, at that moment, you pull out your deluxe Gold Simca credit card, Rabbi A. Antonio Arroyo. They look at you, you're a rabbi? No? I'm just a husband that got left. My wife went to Georgia. That is like the worst place in the world. That's across the line. And she went into the country there where they kill people. They hunt Puerto Ricans and everything. And she goes there and she becomes transformed into a new person. And she starts talking things like, I ate, and she starts using these things. I go like, who are you, woman? You left Georgia. Don't go back. Anyway, do you get the idea? Am I entertaining you? Because you might as well laugh, because the next five steps you take out of here, you're going to bleed to death. He's going to be like, that guy is rough. That's right. You can go ahead and vote to get more Sam and more John, because they're going to bring the balm of Gilead when they come to speak up here. That's what I couldn't do in the Southeast Regional. I raised my voice and the PA system went nuts. Yeah, I'm serious. Right at the beginning, the sound system. John looks at me like, I mean, right away, it was against me. Everything was against me. They didn't want me to lay onto them like I wanted to. I wanted to get some blood out of those turnips. So, you know, the more people, blood people give, the better they feel. And you become a number one preacher because how much blood you drew out. Well, somebody told me that. I think they were wrong. Stand up. What are you all waiting for? You go ahead and sit down. I'll keep talking. You want to stand up? You want to leave or what? Huh? Can you show me something? Oh, boy. Okay. I can't wait. No, come on.